If it doesn't. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news.
This is Tom Rowe reporting for Wavefarm Radio and WGXC. Inside Radio reports that, quote, pirate radio is running rampant in radio's largest market, unquote, saying complaints filed at the Federal Communications Commission in January indicate there were 34 pirate radio stations operating in Brooklyn and the Bronx alone. So 33 members of Congress from New York and New Jersey wrote to the FCC asking for more enforcement efforts. The lawmakers wrote, quote, the number of pirate FMs in New York City could well outnumber the number of licensed operations, and recently unauthorized stations have shown up elsewhere in New York and New Jersey, unquote. The letter is signed by Brooklyn liberals such as Nydia Velazquez, as well as Hudson Valley Republicans such as Chris Gibson. The letter asked Wheeler to increase the number of enforcement personnel in the New York FCC office and to work with the U.S. Attorney's Office and local law enforcement to step up enforcement. But earlier this year, the FCC said it wants to cut two-thirds of its field offices and eliminate nearly one-half of its field agents from 63 to 33 in their new budget. Instead, they would create a roving squad that would swoop in, picking up some equipment already in place and taking the pirates off the airwaves. John Anderson at DIYmedia.net recently reported that in 2014, the current FCC enforcement approach has been cut back and saw the lowest level of FCC enforcement in nearly a decade. Quote, as of the end of April, there have been just 35 enforcement actions against 17 stations in four states. There has been no official report of field activity in May. In 2014, there were 52 enforcement actions in the same time frame, unquote, DIYmedia.net reports. You can click at newsroom.free103.9.org for the link to the letter from the Congress members. After floating a budget this spring with a smaller enforcement bureau, closing 16 of the 24 field offices, the Federal Communications Commission will now just close 9 offices. National Association of Broadcasters whipped up a pirate radio frenzy in response to the proposed budget cuts, with the group corralling 33 members of Congress to write a letter about the budget cuts and their impact on cities such as New York. Quote, these changes will keep field offices open in strategic locations and help ensure that the commission can fulfill its responsibilities to the public and public safety communities, unquote, said House Communications Subcommittee Chairman Greg Walden, Republican from Oregon, about the deal struck by the House Energy and Commerce Committee. NEB spokesman Dennis Wharton said, quote, NEB thanks the many members of Congress who expressed concern over proposed budget cuts in FCC field offices, and we applaud Chairman Wheeler and his staff for resolving this issue in a manner that better protects against airwave interference. We also salute Chairman Wheeler's willingness to address the rampant growth of pirate radio, which creates significant interference challenges for radio listeners who rely daily on their legally licensed hometown stations, unquote. And Wheeler acknowledged the NAB's input in his statement announcing the new enforcement plan. Quote, today I circulated to my fellow commissioners a modified plan to modernize our field offices, unquote, said Wheeler in a statement. Quote, these changes create the opportunity for the FCC to be more efficient with its resources while actually improving 21st century field activities. This updated plan represents the best of both worlds, rigorous management analysis combined with extensive stakeholder and congressional input. Chairman Walden, Chairman Upton, and other lawmakers have contributed to this effort through their thoughtful engagement. Input from industry and public safety stakeholders has further confirmed the modifications, and I appreciate the important role played by the National Association of Broadcasters in getting to a constructive result. I urge my colleagues to approve this revised plan with dispatch so that we may get on with improving the agency's productivity. iHeartMedia announced that on June 29th, a Spanish-language station that barely covers the Boston area was switching to a conservative talk format as Talk 1430 WKOX. Why is this otherwise minor format change news? It is the latest slap in the face for former talk radio king Rush Limbaugh. The 64-year-old Limbaugh has worked as a DJ or radio host since he was 16 and has been the leading talk radio voice almost ever since his national network launched out of WABC in 1988.
Now, mine is... I understand fully what I do. I know exactly who I am. I love myself. I love myself when I do what I do. I do not aspire to something I'm not. I do not pretend to be something I'm not. I am in radio. I understand radio as well as I understand liberals. from a business standpoint. And I understand that if the business aspects are not met and satisfied, then all the content is academic.
But Limbaugh's days as the unanimous radio ratings king are ending. That Boston Spanish language station is flipping to a conservative talk format just to give Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Sean Hannity a presence, any presence, in the country's 10th biggest radio market. In Indianapolis, talk powerhouse WIBC has hosted Limbaugh's radio show for more than 20 years, but just dropped the show. Now Limbaugh is on WNDE, a former AM sports station that has fewer listeners than a commercial-free classical music station in town. In December 2013, Cumulus Media dropped Limbaugh's show from WABC in New York. Hannity and Limbaugh moved to WOR, owned by iHeartMedia. That was after Limbaugh called activist Sandra Fluke a slut on his radio show. Since then, advertisers and listeners have not been tuning into Limbaugh in the same numbers as his heyday. Limbaugh himself seems to realize the media landscape has shifted beneath his feet, posting to Facebook earlier this year, quote, "Now that I've outgrown the 25 to 54 demographic, I'm no longer confident that the way I see the world is the way everybody else does. I've gotten old enough now that there are younger people, generationally younger, who have an entirely different view, an entirely different experience," unquote. The Federal Communications Commission, June 17th, levied its largest fine ever, charging AT&T Mobility $100 million for offering consumers, quote, unlimited, unquote, data, but then slowing their internet speeds. The FCC said AT&T misled consumers into buying the so-called unlimited plans, but which had slowed down data. Quote, "The FCC has specifically identified this practice as a legitimate and reasonable way to manage network resources for the benefit of all customers, and has known for years that all the major carriers use it," unquote, the company said in a statement. Quote, "We have been fully transparent with our customers, providing notice in multiple ways and going well beyond the FCC's disclosure requirements," unquote. The FCC disagreed, saying millions of customers saw their internet service slow to the equivalent of dial-up speeds for up to 12 days a month. Quote, "Broadband providers must be upfront and transparent about the services they provide," unquote, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler said in a statement. Quote, "The FCC will not stand idly by while consumers are deceived by misleading marketing materials and insufficient disclosure," unquote. Republican FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai called the decision Kafkaesque in his dissent. Quote, "This case is really just a regulatory bait and switch. The flexibility the agency promised is being replaced by previously unknown and arbitrarily selected obligations," unquote, Pai wrote in his dissent. Quote, "A once-approved network management practice is now out of favor and carries with it a $100 million penalty," unquote. For months, former NSA and CIA Director Michael Hayden has been claiming that if passed, the USA Freedom Act would lead to dire consequences for American security. Before the slight reform of the Patriot Act passed a few weeks ago, Hayden said, quote, "The bill's imposition of the warrant requirement on the NSA would be more burdensome than what any assistant U.S. attorney must do to get metadata in a routine criminal case, which is simply to aver that the information is needed in connection with a criminal investigation," period, unquote. Now that the USA Freedom Act is the law of the land, Tech Dirt reports he's singing a different tune. Quote, "If somebody would come up to me and say, look, Hayden, here's the thing. This Snowden thing is going to be a nightmare for you guys for about 2 years. And when we get it all done with, what you're going to be required to do is that little 215 program about American telephony metadata. And by the way, you can still have access to it, but you got to go to the court and get access to it from the companies rather than keep it yourself," unquote. And I go, "And this is after 2 years? Cool," unquote.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Rowe. You're listening to This Week in Radio News, and that was Thomas Dolby with Radio Silence. And the Radio Silence we're speaking of this week is Bill Pasternak, who passed away last week with a memorial service Saturday, June 20th in California. Pasternak was the longtime host of Amateur Radio Newsline, a longtime chronicler of amateur radio news. Here's a final report from Ham Nation on Amateur Radio Newsline last week about Bill Pasternak's passing.
From Amateur Radio Newsline, this is a special presentation on the life of Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
It is with a heavy heart that we report the passing of Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Bill was 73. He left us on Thursday evening, June 11th. Up to the end, Bill didn't think about his own condition, but of all of us who came to rely on him for the Amateur Radio Newsline. Newsline was Bill's baby, an on-air bulletin service he co-founded in 1976 as the Westlink Report, and for which he served as managing editor until his death. Bill was a tireless promoter of amateur radio and originated the Young Ham of the Year Award through Newsline to recognize the accomplishments of young amateurs. He was always behind efforts to promote ham radio among youth, and was especially supportive of scouting and its annual Jamboree on the Air and the operations of K2BSA, the Boy Scouts' official station active at national jamborees. For those of you who have listened to Amateur Radio Newsline or watched segments here on Ham Nation prepared by Newsline, you really didn't hear much from the man behind the scenes. Occasionally, he would report on breaking news stories from the Amateur Radio Newsline studios in California, but he always preferred to get his staff of reporters on the air, doing the job for you. Bill was an intrepid behind-the-scenes newsman pursuing leads weekly for Newsline and recruiting an all-volunteer staff made up of active and retired broadcasters and others to help produce the program. Bill was a published author and wrote for a variety of publications including CQ, QST, 73, and World Radio, to name a few. Bill was among those behind the American Radio Relay League's entry into promoting the hobby through a popular series of films and videos that circulated among radio clubs throughout the nation and around the world over the years. He worked with his close friends, Dave Bell, W6AQ, his longtime friend and TV producer, and Roy Neal, K6DUE, former NBC News science editor. Bill's last project for the ARRL was with Dave Bell and a video targeting the DIY and makers, whom he believed could offer much to amateur radio's ranks. Bill always wanted his videos to be an out-of-this-world experience for the viewer, as in space, of course, where he believed ham radio should play a role. One of his crowning achievements came when he included in an ARRL video the first contacts with the first ham radio astronaut in space, Owen Garry at W5LFL in 1983. Bill's last video, released a few years ago, also featured an appearance by an astronaut aboard the International Space Station, astronaut Doug Wheelock, KF5BOC. It also included a video of a follow-up eyeball at Dayton between the astronaut and one of the people with whom he had a QSO while in space. Bill Pasternak was a native of Brooklyn, New York, and was first licensed there in 1959 as WA2HVK. You could take the boy out of New York, but if you listen closely, you couldn't take the accent out of the boy. Bill loved talking about his exploits on 6 meters in New York in his early days. And he also fondly recalled getting his private pilot's license back then and flying and operating Aeromobile in New Jersey. When the no-code technician license arrived, Bill convinced the love of his life, Sharon, to take the test. She became KD6EPW. Bill not only embraced technology as a hobby, but as a vocation as well. He found his way into television as an engineer and worked for several years at KTTV, which became the Fox station in Los Angeles. Bill retired in 2012 and continued to serve as broadcast consultant and devoted more of his time to the amateur radio newsline. Besides amateur radio, Bill loved Broadway theater, and he was an avid theatergoer. He made regular trips to New York to see musicals and drama productions and took in shows when they hit the West Coast as well. Many don't know, but he made many friends among actors and actresses over the years, true friends like those he had in amateur radio. Bill's the only ham to be recognized twice by the Dayton Hamvention Group. He received the Special Achievement Award in 1981 and the Radio Amateur of the Year Award in 1989. Bill was also recognized by the ARRL with a National Certificate of Merit for his contributions to promoting amateur radio, and also served on the Public Relations Committee at headquarters. We are sad he has left us, but we are happy Bill is at peace and has gone to the best DX location one could ever imagine. A memorial service is being planned, and in lieu of flowers, family is asking for contributions to the amateur radio newsline to continue the Young Ham of the Year Award in Bill's name. On a personal level, as chairman of the Young Ham of the Year Award Judging Committee, I can promise you the award will be made this year. It's a promise I made to Bill just a few days ago in a brief and final telephone conversation with a friend, a true friend whom I will miss very much. I met Bill in 2002. Wow, that's almost 17 years ago, when my son Josh, then KB3GWY, was selected as the Young Ham of the Year. It was at the Huntsville Ham Fest, and my wife Sue, NZ3G, and daughter Amy, KB3IJW, flew down to attend the event. Bill was gracious and kind, and my family and I forged an instant bond with him. Because of my professional work as a broadcaster in Philadelphia, Bill asked me to join the fine stable of contributors to Amateur Radio Newsline. I graciously accepted. When the chairman of the Young Ham of the Year Award Committee wanted to give it up, Bill came right to me. He said because of my scouting background and interest in exposing young people to ham radio, I'd be a perfect fit. How could I say no? But now, he has left us. We all grieve in different ways, but as a man of faith, I'd like to say to all of you, Bill was a man of great faith. He is now at peace. He is enjoying his heavenly reward. He gave his very best to all of us. The best way we can continue his legacy is to carry the spirit, that spark of curiosity, and the light of knowledge through this wonderful world of amateur radio. I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
Thank you, Mark. I met Bill in 1995, 20 years ago now, through Kevin Boudreau, N5XMH, the 1993 Young Ham of the Year. He and I traveled to the Huntsville Ham Fest together. I'd only been a ham 8 months, and with my broadcasting career, I was immediately thrust into amateur radio newsline. Bill had a way of making you an offer you couldn't refuse. Well, in those 2 decades, he became more than a friend and a colleague. He became an uncle. He became an older brother, a teacher, and a mentor. As noted voiceover talent Bo Weaver, W6KHJ, is fond of saying, Bill has taken his light into another room, or to put it in ham radio terms, he's moved on up the band to a spot where we don't yet have privileges, but we will one day, and Bill will be the first to answer our call. The saying, who's going to fill their shoes, comes to mind, but I don't think it really applies here, because only Bill Pasternak could wear those shoes. But we in the Amateur Radio Newsline, and you who listen, watch, and support what we do, can stand together in his footprints and take the next steps together. We'll lock arms and we'll move forward and we'll do it together. Because Bill would want that, and because it's the right thing to do. More in future reports. For everyone associated with the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
That was from Ham Nation on Amateur Radio Newsline last week, explaining that host Bill Pasternak had passed away, with a memorial service June 20th. This is Shellac with the End of Radio on This Week in Radio News.
Is this thing on? something on. This is America, all the ships at sea. Anyone within the sound of my voice. I've got 50,000 watts of power. Electricity. Can you hear me now? Out on Route 128, in the dark and lonely. I got my radio on. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Welcome to my top 10. I'd like to thank our sponsor. But we haven't got a sponsor. Not if you were the last man on earth. She was prepared to prove it. This one goes out to a special girl. But there is no special girl! It's the end of radio! The last announcer plays the last record. The last what? Leaves the transmitter. Circles the globe in search of a listener. it really broadcasting if there's no one there to receive? It's the end of radio. As we come to the close of our broadcast day, radio. Can you hear me now? See?